back and read the whole chapter, and you'll see several things that imply the same things as Isaiah 61 through 66, which is all about the thousand-year reign. Anyway, here in Acts chapter 13, Paul, if you will, he employs the verses out of Isaiah to give credence unto himself. Therefore, when you go to Isaiah 49 and you read that verse, you can say, that's Paul. Well, it is, but it's a type of Paul. It's not Paul in Isaiah 49:6, because Isaiah 49 is talking about the thousand-year reign of Christ upon the earth, where the Jews rule and the Gentiles bring their belongings to them and so forth. And that's massive. There's massive scripture back there about all of that. There's no reason to doubt all of that. And you can go read it. Isaiah 42 through 66 will fill you with Gentiles in the future. Okay? But that's that future. It's Israel's future where Gentiles are there. Paul is talking about something that starts in Acts chapter 9 with his salvation and with his first preaching in chapter 13, and then it goes, it's almost like the Gentiles go up and the Jews go down for the next whatever. It just happens that way. So, well, that's contrary to prophecy. Yes, it is. So why is it contrary to prophecy? It's contrary to prophecy because it was revealing a mystery. You see, what happens is the world doesn't realize, that denominational world that I was talking about earlier, why is there so many churches kind of thing, they don't realize the revelation of the mystery to the Apostle Paul was as far-reaching as it was. I've heard Chuck Swindoll, David Jeremiah, years past the Baptist preacher Stanley, Pete Ruckman. I've heard all of those denominational people, the guy from Max Lucado, and the guy from the Lutheran Church, who's a very good preacher, Concordia Lutheran down in San Antonio, and many other denominational preachers. I've heard them talk about the revelation of the mystery to the Apostle Paul. And I think, oh, they know the mystery. No, they don't. They think the mystery kind of has a big loop on it that goes back, that you sling back toward Acts chapter 2 and you drag everybody else into the church there. That's not the way it was. And what happens is they didn't know it. They didn't see it. Probably were taught away from it instead of toward it. But you have, what you have is in Luke chapter 1 and 2, the two famous prophetic speeches there are going to show you that the world was supposed to come to Gentiles. The world was supposed to come to Israel's light and their rising. You also find the same thing back there in Isaiah. When I said, well, I'll go from Isaiah 42 all the way to 66. It's all about Israel when they're doing God's will. The Gentiles come to them. But what we have in Romans chapter 11, verse 11, is that salvation came to the Gentiles through the fall of Israel instead of the rising. There's no rising in Israel. Israel's, in the book of Acts, Israel is going away while the Gentiles are rising. So through the fall of Israel, salvation came to the Gentiles. And if you have questions about that, I'd be glad to switch subjects here. But I want to go on with what's going on in the book of Acts, if I can. Because, incidentally, the reason I'm glancing down here so much is it looks like the live streaming is playing games. You know, you should never trust anything that's controlled by the God of this world very much. Don't trust it very much. But nevertheless, we'll make our way back to it, I'm sure. Now, the point, though, is in the book of Acts, when all of these things begin to unfold, certain things begin to happen that caused this rise of the Gentiles through Paul's preaching and the diminishing of Israel through the 12th preaching. The men were not responsible. It was of the Lord's will, or it wouldn't have happened this way, but bigger than simply being of the Lord's will, saying of the Lord's will and letting it go at that, is that Paul's journeys and his intentions show how this is going to take place. Just because of where every step leads him to go to another place. Now here in Acts chapter 13 and 14, he's in Galatia. which is a big area, kind of like where Turkey is now, where lower Turkey is now. He never went to the northern part of Galatia. He never went to the mountains in Galatia. And so that Galatian area has a lot of town, city names, like Aonia is a land and it's in the middle of it, and many city names are involved there in Acts chapter 13 and 14. So what happens in Acts chapter 13 and 14 is he spends about 13 years there. Well, that's quite a bit of time. And he goes in and out of there and whatever else he did. Look at the end of Acts chapter 14. And remember, he goes to the Jew first, but he also goes to the Gentile. He also gets the Gentiles. The Gentiles are believing it. Now, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Now the point is that they did all this, and that deal about we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God throws people, but that's because they're not paying attention to what Paul wrote later on. They're only going by what is said about his preaching in Acts chapter 14. So there's no reason to worry about that. Once again, if you have some worry about that, we can change subjects right here. It doesn't make any difference. But keep reading.